Here we are. Lady Denby leads us into a spacious room dominated by a painting as large as a door. It is a hideously ornate depiction of a barrel-chested man astride a horse. He wears a red jacket and looks every bit the country gentleman off to the hunt. At his heels sit two obedient dogs. Simon nods to it.
Miss Doyle, may I present my grandfather, Cornelius George Basil Middleton, Viscount of Denby.
Grandmama makes a spectacle of herself fawning over it, though all she knows of art could fit inside a thimble. Still, it makes Lady Denby proud. She moves on to an objet d'art upon a mantel, forcing a maid who is cleaning a grate to stand waiting, brush in sooty hand. What a beautiful painting, I say diplomatically. Simon raises an eyebrow.
If by beautiful you mean to say silly, overdone and grotesque, then I accept your compliment.
I stifle a laugh. The dogs are quite distinguished looking. Simon stands beside me, and I feel that strange current again. He cocks his head, taking in my comment and the painting.
Yes, in fact, perhaps I could claim them as kin instead.
His eyes are so blue, and his smile is so warm. We are standing only inches apart. From the corner of my eye I can see Grandmama and the others touring the room. How many of these have you read? I ask, moving toward the bookshelves, pretending to be interested.
Not many,
Simon says, falling into step.
I've a great many hobbies. They take up much of my time. It's my duty to see after our interest in Denby, the manor and such.
Yes, of course, I say, continuing my slow promenade.
Are you attending Admiral and Lady Worthington's Christmas ball, by any chance?
Yes, I am, I say, walking to the windows overlooking the street.
I shall be there as well.
He catches up. Here we are, side by side again. Oh, I say, how nice.
Perhaps you will save me a dance?
He asks, shyly. Yes, I say, smiling. Perhaps I will.
I see you're not wearing your necklace this evening.
My hand springs to my bare neck. You noticed my jewellery? Seeing his mother occupied, he whispers in my ear.
I noticed your neck. The necklace happened to be there. It is very unusual.
It was my mother's, I say, still blushing from the bold compliment. It was given to her by a village woman in India, a charm of protection. I'm afraid it didn't work for her.
Perhaps it isn't for protection,
Simon says. I've never thought of that. I can't imagine what else it could be for.
What is your favourite colour?
Simon asks. Purple, I answer. Why do you ask?
No reason,
he says, smiling.
I might have to invite your brother to my club. He seems a good fellow.
Huh. I'm sure he would enjoy that. Tom would leap through rings of fire for the chance to go to Simon's club. It is the best in London. Simon regards me for a moment.
You're not like other young ladies my mother trots before me.
Oh, I say, wincing, desperate to know how I'm different.
There's something adventurous about you. I feel as if you have a great many secrets I should like to know.
Lady Denby notes us standing at the window so close. I pretend to take an interest in a leather-bound copy of Moby Dick that sits upon a side table. The spine crackles when I lift the cover, as if it's never been read. Perhaps you wouldn't really want to know them, I say.
How do you know?
Simon asks, repositioning a ceramic figurine of two cupids.
Offer me a test.
What can I say? That I suffer from the same delusions as poor Nell Hawkins, but that they are not delusions at all. That I'm afraid I'm one step away from the madhouse myself. It would be so nice to confide in Simon and have him say, "See, that wasn't so very bad now, was it? You're not mad. I believe you. I am with you." I let the chance pass. "I have a third eye," I say breezily. "I am a descendant of Atalanta, and my table manners are inexcusable." Simon nods.
"I suspected as much. That is why we're going to ask you to eat in the stable from now on as a precaution. You don't mind, do you?"
"Not at all." I close the book and turn away.